Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. Say, are you looking to make some improvements around the house? Well, today we have a person who might be able to offer some advice. Darren Tracy is here and ready to answer your questions. He's a licensed professional engineer and construction specialist. Darren has extensive experience in construction, renovation, and property management and joins us to offer his expertise. It's a popular show when he's on, so call early, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. That's the number. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy and your home improvement calls coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement today, and our buddy Darren Tracy's back. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. If you have a question for Darren today, feel free. 800-348-2551 is the number, 800-348-2551. Or if you feel like it, email instead. voxpop@wamc.org is the email address, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Ray. I'm fine.
Yeah, things going well?
Things are going great.
I saw your new video, man. Spectacular. I love it. I put it on
the webpage
today for this show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, tell us about that one.
My wife and I were visiting our daughter and son-in-law in New Hampshire. They recently moved there. A relatively new home, like 20, 25 years old, but it's a little bit unconventional and needs some TLC and some finishing touches. So we just helped them with various projects, and it was kind of a payback because when my wife and I were young and built our own home, my dad and mom came and visited us and had some time to help out, so it's payback. And
well, that's nice.
Yep.
And so, does your daughter realize just how much money she saves?
Having us help.
Yeah, having you help.
I think so, because there have been plenty of things that they have been doing that we have not been able to do, such as the waterproofing a basement. Actually, we have a really good video on waterproofing their basement. It's a part crawl space, part basement.
Okay.
That's on a YouTube channel.
The link. I have not only the link to the video of you loosening doors so that they close properly, but I also have a link to your page with all of your videos. So if anybody's interested, go to WAMC.org, today's Vox Pop page, and there'll be a link. You can see the embedded video of the you didn't shave the doors, did you? Did you shave them?
I gave it a shave. I didn't shave my face. I raced down here in a hurry. I did take a shower, though, on your behalf.
Well, that's very kind.
Yeah. I took them off, and I hit them with a belt sander.
Yeah. So. I mean, I recall doing that years ago with a plane. Is that possible? You can do it with a plane?
You can do it with a plane, but in this particular door, the style, the vertical piece, was too long. And if you hit that with a plane, you're going against the end grain.
Yeah.
So it's tougher to plane unless it's a really, really, really sharp plane.
Yeah.
So it's easier just to pop it off and hit it with a belt sander.
I laughed when you picked the door up and took it out, said, that's a heavy door. We have some doors in our house that are old that are also heavy, and another one of your videos has how to tighten up screws that have come out of the hinges, and we're having that problem with one because the door is so heavy and it has been so often tightened that it's starting to come loose again, and I want to replace it with something very, very light. So that's on the that's on the agenda.
You can use that old door. It's an easy fix. Just pop out a screw.
I did this.
Stick in a couple of broken toothpicks and put your screw back in.
I did it, man. It keeps coming out. It keeps coming out.
It shouldn't. Maybe more toothpicks.
And you don't use glue? Because we always break a toothpick, in a couple spots and put it in and then put a little glue in.
You could use glue, I suppose.
Elmer's.
But I never have, and just toothpicks or slivers have worked.
Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement. The number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Anything you're working on right now?
Yes, yesterday I was at Wiawaka, a woman's retreat, Lake George, old historical building, helping them out with renovations of their old place.
And what have you been up to?
Oh, gosh, they had a lot of rotted sills on their one wing of their building, and it had settled about 4 inches, so I worked with an architect. We worked hand-in-hand together to come up with a plan to replace those sills, and we jacked up the building, replaced the sills, took siding off, replaced siding. It was really in pretty rough shape.
Okay, so when you jack a building up, you have a I've seen these, but I don't know exactly. Can one of these hydraulic jacks do up a whole building, or do you need a series of them?
Usually you need a series of them. In this case, we were not the contractor. We were just a consultant on this project.
Yeah.
The contractor used probably 8 jacks total, not real heavy jacks, 4 or 5, 6-ton jacks, and just positioned them individually around and lifted up.
When you set those on the ground, how do you make sure they're solid and won't come crashing down?
Yeah, that's important. We jacked off the foundation. It was a stone foundation. So before we even did any jacking, we had to repoint the masonry and make sure that that was solid and let that sit for about 7 days. And then put some boards down on top of that and jacked off that solid foundation. And then on the top of your jack, it's usually a stem that's an inch or 1.5 inch diameter. You need to spread that load out, so you'll put a steel plate on top of that, maybe 6 inches square, eight to 10 inches square, 1/2 inch thick, so it doesn't compress, and that goes up against the wood, and that's a jacking point.
Is that one of those things where you could rent that and do it yourself? Rent one of those if you had a small project, a porch or something, and do it yourself, or is that just a little too dangerous for the amateur to do?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily too dangerous, but it's really not a do-it-yourselfer. You kind of need a comprehensive knowledge of carpentry to tackle something like that, or comprehensive knowledge of mechanics, good mechanical skills, a little bit beyond a homeowner's wheel horse.
Except you. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. What have we here? What is that thing? Well, a little waffle iron?
Well, you remember we had...
Name that tool?
Name that tool.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to do
go
that...
Go ahead, man. Well, we got a couple of minutes before the break. Go ahead.
Well, it's up to you. I mean, I brought a couple, and you can choose what you want
Look at that one that looks like a tiny waffle iron on a keychain.
Okay.
What is that?
Well, I'm not going to say it's for the callers to guess. It's for you to describe it so they can guess what it is.
It's got all right. So it looks almost like the design of what might be a pair of pliers, but it's not. It has flat ends that are about 2 inches by 1.5 inches with 6 circles empty in the middle. So it looks like a 6 of clubs without, small playing card, basically. Yeah. And it's got a handle, and it looks like the handle looks like the end of an earwig. It has round hooked handles, and I have no possible idea what this thing could be. The two sides look exactly the same, and they'll line up when you close this thing so that the holes are lined up. And then if you open it, obviously, all right, man. I've never seen one of these. If anyone has an idea, you can explain it better than I. So if there's something I left out of the description, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm not going to do that. That's your job.
Okay. Really?
Along the way, yeah. Along the way, you're good with language.
Okay.
And I'm good with a hammer.
Fair enough. So that's it. So if you have any ideas on that one, and we can give you more clues if you call, 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement today with Darren Tracy. The email is voxpop@wamc.org. Yeah, we'll play Name That Tool, and we'll also answer your calls coming up. All right, we're going to play Name That Tool, but let's name that tune. Darren Tracy, what was that?
Oh, my gosh. That's... Right,
first of all, who was it by?
That is Fats Domino. I have no idea.
Fats Domino.
Jazzy
it's
stuff.
Frank Zappa.
No, really?
Yeah, live Frank Zappa. Oh, Heavy Duty Judy there.
All I know is Dynamo Hum.
Well, we're not going to put that one on the show. The number here is 800-348-2551. That would violate several things. Yeah. That maybe in the old days of album rock, you could get away with it. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. I see our buddy Merlin Argyle's waiting for us. So, Merle, go ahead.
Hi, I got two related questions.
Okay.
One, I just put up an outdoor shed, and I told the guys that we're building it to put down plastic on the ground. It's got no floor. I'm just driving the tractors in for storage. But I wanted plastic down. They just sort of threw it down in the middle of the floor. Is plastic going to help keep moisture on just on top of the ground?
Okay.
Yeah, plastic or... PVC or polyethylene, sheet polyethylene is probably what you're talking about. That's a great product to prevent moisture from wicking up from the earth into the concrete.
Now, it's just two-ply plastic. Is that not enough?
Probably one ply is enough. Maybe you mean 2 mil. Yeah,
oh.
That's two mil, maybe. That's thick enough because once it's in place, you're not moving around to where it would tear easily. So that's enough, and it's a great idea, even under a shed, garage, keep the moisture out of that concrete.
All right. There's no concrete. It's dirt.
It's dirt.
It's sitting on the ground.
Okay. Well, you'd want to put something on
top. And then I'm going to put dirt on top of it or something.
I would suggest putting stone dust or maybe small crushed stone on top
that's of a good
instead
idea.
Of dirt. And I've done that myself.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's a good idea.
All right.
The other related question is crawl space. Plastic down, and it's got, I was just down in the crawl space. It's got one window open, screen window, but there's water on top of the plastic. Have I got a problem or not enough air circulation or don't worry about it?
Well, you've got a problem if there's moisture there, Merle, and I'm glad you asked that because there is a lot of misinformation about crawl space. The old building science, and I've talked about this in other shows, Ray, suggests ventilating a crawl space in the summertime, but that is not the thing to do because what happens is that warm air travels in from outside and cools because of the ground temperature is cooler there and condenses and makes a drier space. I mean, I think theoretically, the scientists thought that if you had enough ventilation there, it would blow through. But for all practical purposes, it doesn't work very well. So you want to treat a crawl space like a basement for short people. So you want to seal it up, not open up any windows, keep that sealed up and have a vapor barrier on top of the earth.
All right, Merle, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Darren Tracy's our guest. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement. And let's grab a couple of emails here before we go to the next call. This is from Kenneth. Storage of batteries. We have an electric hedge trimmer, weed whacker, chainsaw, other things. There have been many reports of large rechargeable batteries causing house fires. What are appropriate systems for storing them safely?
Anything that I think could be flammable, if I'm charging something, I do that on a concrete, non-flammable surface.
Okay. Yeah. This is from Jay. I have a 50s ranch with plank sheathing and cedar clapboard, 8-inch reveal, that had been sandblasted and lost its integrity. What are the best siding options, and when the old siding is removed, would you replace the plank sheathing and or wrap the house and or maybe some insulating board sheathing? And that is from Jay.
Well, that's a great opportunity to improve the insulation in your house. I would install an air barrier like Tyvek. Or you could add a half-inch rigid polyisocyanurate insulation, tape the joints. That could be your insulation and air barrier. That's what I would do. And then for siding materials, you've got vinyl siding, wood siding, cement board. Vinyl is final. A lot of people are, you know, don't like the idea that it, you know, it's a petroleum product, but
yeah,
there's a lot of it out there. Most houses have vinyl siding, and you know, our house is, you know, we built it 27 years old, and I've gone fishing instead of scraping and painting in the summer because of that. So,
all right, fair enough. All right, this email from Dave, working in Chittenango. I don't know if you can see this, and there's a picture, but my cousin's deck is sliding down the hill. The soil is carrying it away. We dug out the posts and found the concrete piers. Wondering what it might take to lift it back in the piers and how to install some rebar pins to keep it connected to the piers. And there's a picture here. It's a deck. It looks like it's perhaps seen better days. It's angling a bit. Here, I'll show you that.
Okay, let's take a peek at this. Oh, yeah, that's not
that?
Good.
No.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Is it now?
Yeah, yeah.
It's dangerous if you're under it or on it, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's this elevated deck with 4x4 posts.
And it's
with
on
a header,
an incline.
Header on top on the side of a hill, and it looks like the side of the hill has been sloughing off, and it's about a foot out of plumb. The posts are a foot out of plumb in a 6 or 8 foot vertical height. That's bad. You could jack those up, jack that deck up, and re-pour a concrete foundation for those posts. Why they slid out of plumb, I don't know. You could tie those back at a diagonal with a cable and, say, an earth auger into the bank. That would help retain those in the plumb position.
Okay. Thank you for that one. And
you're
the
welcome.
Number here is 800-348-2551. One more email for now, and then back to the calls. This one is from Lynn. Kudos to Darren for helping out at Wiawaka. It's a wonderful place. A friend of mine recently replaced her very old washing machine in her basement with a brand new one. That very day after the installers left, she had no water flowing up to her bathroom, which is on the second floor. There's no problem with the water to the kitchen on the first floor. People came back, couldn't find a source of the problem. Nothing seemed to be leaking or disconnected or turned off. We had another handyman in, and he couldn't figure it out either. Any ideas what the problem could be? And that's from Lynn.
My only idea is that some sort of debris was dislodged in the piping or from the washing machine and traveled up to the second floor or someplace in between a branch connection in the second floor and is blocking the passage. That's the only thing that I can think of.
And how would you diagnose that problem?
You could start flushing flushing the pipes. You could disconnect at the washing machine and then just flush the pipes. You could try to pressurize the upstairs pipe and blow back, just off the top of my head.
Okay. Let's go back to our phone lines. Darren Tracy's our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. And we'll go to Paul, who is in an undisclosed location. Paul, where are you calling from?
Backcourt.
Okay.
Actually, Woodstock today.
All right, in Woodstock. All right, so you want to guess, you want to have a guess here and name that tool?
Yeah, based on your description, Ray, it sounds like a sheet metal crimping device that one might use on a standing seam roof or similar.
It's not. That's not a bad guess. And
Don't blame Ray.
Yeah.
I know. I described it incredibly poorly, Paul.
It threw me off with the waffle iron part.
All right. It's not really a waffle. It looks more like a six of clubs made out of metal.
It almost looks like scissors, too.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It operates in a scissor fashion.
All right. So I don't think we're going to get this one. And I think, frankly,
I can give a hint sometime.
All right, go. Let's give a hint to Paul. He had a shot here.
It's safety oriented. It's in the safety field.
Safety
it's used
oriented.
To provide safety.
Safety. Yeah. It's got two plates, and it looks like a six of clubs. Is that what you said?
Yeah, but it's not as big as a deck of cards. It's maybe a half the size of a card. Yeah, no idea.
It's about
how you'd use it on a job site.
You would use it on some job sites for safety reasons.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'll give you one
chance. I'll give it up.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Actually, Steven wrote in and said, sounds like a sheet metal bending tool, except they usually don't have holes. So that's Steven in Pine Bush is also incorrect on that, yeah?
Correct.
All right. All right. Let's go back to our calls. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Mark's in Albany. Mark, you're on.
My 25-year-old refrigerator stopped working. I want to replace it with an energy-efficient one. And my other concern as an environmentalist is how to make sure that it's picked up by some entity that will recover the hydrofluorocarbon refrigerants, which are extremely powerful greenhouse gases, and not release them. Constraints, I'm in Albany. I don't have a car, so it would have to be picked up. Hmm. And where could I find a list of efficient rating compact refrigerators by efficiency?
Okay. There's a state agency called NYSERDA, New York State Energy Research Authority, something like that. And they would have...
I know them.
Okay. They would have a list. And then to make sure the old refrigerator is disposed of properly, you could contact your local municipality, whether if you're in the city or town. They could provide some guidance on that. Also, your utility company, whether it's National Grid or Con Edison or wherever you may live, they often have programs where they'll give you a rebate if you are upgrading an older refrigerator. And they will help organize the pickup of the older refrigerator and the purchase of the new and give you some, like a grant for doing so or a rebate for doing so. And I might add, there are some areas, you said city, I don't know if it's Albany, but there are some areas of a city where you can actually get a refrigerator for free. In certain districts, yeah. And it's not income-based at all. Certain areas are pre-qualified, I know, because we rehabbed a home on Lark Street. And the tenant was able to get a brand-new refrigerator for free, no income qualification whatsoever. It's a pre-qualified area. So I checked that out,
so
too.
Go to the city website and see, maybe?
That I think that program is through NYSERDA as well.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all good right. Good luck with that.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy joins us today every so often. He shows up and gives free advice, which, hey, you can't lose. Let's go to Dan in Saratoga. Dan, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the show. I was just wondering if there was a low-cost way or no-cost way of getting a survey done on my residential property. And I actually have a survey, but I don't know how to interpret it as far as the corner points. It's a five-sided property, and every side is a straight line. But I don't, I just don't know where to start.
Do you live in the Pentagon by any chance?
No.
No? Okay. Just checking.
Well, it's my Pentagon.
Ah, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
It lives in his Pentagon.
Okay.
Yeah, you can contact me privately after the show, and I can help you interpret that survey. You can send me an email at darren@westbranchinc.com. You wouldn't, since you already have a survey, you wouldn't have to procure another one. Assume you're trying to identify your property lines, the corners. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm trying to determine it on all sides. It's not that there's any disputes or anything, but on the property line are trees that I'm afraid that if and when they come down during a storm,
yeah,
kind of like whose responsibility is it?
Right.
Whose properties are the trees on?
Okay.
Sure, that's nice to know. And also, if you can identify the surveyor, if the surveyor is still in business, sometimes that they will come out and mark those corners for you at a cost much reduced from preparation of the original survey. But like I said, contact me off the air and I can help you identify or at least interpret how to read that survey, the meets and bounds of that.
Okay. And the email address once again, Darren?
It's my name, Darren, D-A-R-R-E-N, at company name West, WestBranchInc.com. Also, you can just Google search me on the internet.
Darren at WestBranchInc.com.
That's correct.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot. 800-348-2551. Okay, we have several guesses on hold here for the Name That Tool competition, okay, and several on the email as well. Let's see. The first one who came in was, looks like Rob in Malta. So Rob gets first crack at this. All right, Rob, what do you got?
Is the, well, first, good afternoon, fellas.
Hey.
Is the six hole part red in color?
Yes.
Is it a safety hasp for lockout tagout?
That's exactly what it is.
What is that?
This opens up like scissors, and instead of a straight blade like scissors, it's curved, semicircle curved. So that allows you to encircle, say, electrical panel box knob or semicircle hasp.
Yep.
I guess is the word I'm looking for. If you look and you close the two semicircles, they become a circle.
Yeah.
And then the through the red parts, the six of club parts, the holes line up, you can put a padlock on that.
Okay.
And then you can put up to six padlocks. If it's an important device, you may want the approval of more than one person,
right,
to be able to open that up,
gotcha,
and check it and operate it. So
okay,
this is called a lockout tagout.
Rob, wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You win absolutely nothing except our admiration and appreciate it. Now, also, I should say that Andrew wrote in, and he was correct as well. Thanks to Bruce and Michael and Stuart and a bunch of other people who wrote in. Appreciate it. That's it for – well, you got another one?
Well, right, well, I thought if we had no –
all right,
ran out of call. We don't need to do this.
Go ahead. Well, we have half a show. If you have another Name That Tool, this is what they call – a two for Wednesday. What do you
okay
got?
Well, here it is, and so you can use your oratory skills describe that.
Now, wait a minute. As a semi-professional broadcaster, I shouldn't be asked to do this sort of thing. All right. Well, this thing clearly is meant to go in some sort of a ratchet set, right? Am I right about that?
Something that turns, not necessarily a ratchet.
Okay.
It's meant to be turned.
Okay. So this is... oh, I would say it's about 3 or 4 inches. It's pretty heavy steel, yeah?
That's correct.
Okay, and it's got...
high carbon steel.
It's, well, of course.
Very brittle.
Okay, and yes, you would probably use a some sort of a set, something that turns it, because it has little threads, not exactly like a screw or a drill bit, but similar, and they go in that fashion. It's got a very... compared to the width of this thing, it's probably a quarter inch diameter, maybe a little more than that, maybe 5/16. But the tip itself that would presumably be placed into wood or something else is very small. But the actual diameter of this thing is pretty thick, and that's all I got. Can you explain anything else without
giving
it
away? Well, you might want to mention that it has spirals.
Well, that's what I said. Okay.
Well,
I thought it was kind of like a
thread.
It's a spiral. But
yeah, I don't want to get into your business, but yeah.
Well, what do you mean into my business? I've never seen that thing before. All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's take a regular call here, and we'll go to LaGrangeville, and it's Andrew's turn. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well, everybody.
You're on.
So my guess that this new tool would be an easy app.
Bingo.
What? No.
Bingo.
What is it?
Go ahead, Andrew.
Right, for pulling out either pipes or things like that, broken
right,
nipples.
It's called an easy out.
Easy out. Okay.
Yeah, if you notice, the shaft is spiraled opposite a right-hand thread. So you drive this into whatever is broken. Say you have a bolt that's broken off. Okay, so you drive this into the broken surface of the bolt, and then you can back it out, turn it clockwise.
That's a huge. Well, this is for big bolts that big.
We have a variety of sizes here.
Okay,
we've got little ones to big ones, but
okay,
you know this would be used for something larger, maybe a bolt on a heavy piece of heavy equipment.
Question. All right, go ahead, Andrew. We got about a minute before the break, so hit it.
More time.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm thinking about residing the house. It has T111 on it. Would I rip that all off before I put the new product on and most likely insulate underneath there also?
No, I'd leave that on. That provides good strength, and you can apply your rigid insulation directly to the exterior of that. Leave it on.
Okay, and then do cement board or vinyl or something, right?
Cement board, vinyl, cedar shakes, cedar siding. Cedar shakes are a good option.
All right. Hey, great job, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. More of your calls in a flash, more of your emails. First, a little music, a little underwriting, and then we'll be back. On 4th of July holiday, great to remember the American greats. That's Sonny Rollins, one of our American treasures here. 800-348-2551, that's the telephone number. And it's home maintenance and repair and improvement with Darren Tracy. We've been playing Name That Tool. But now we'll get down to business. Let's go to West Virginia. Richard, you're on.
Oh, hello.
You're on. Go ahead.
I have a question about siding. I was a general contractor. I'm retired. I've owned rental houses, and I have one rental house left, and it has what was called hardboard siding that was used in the 70s. That's really a terrible siding. Unless you were to paint it every couple of years, maybe it would hold up. So I've replaced some of this siding currently. And the siding I'm replacing it with, just where the siding was really bad, is, I believe it's LP brand. It comes in 12-inch by 16-foot pieces. And instead of being the really crappy black hardboard siding, it actually has OSB with a surface on it that could be either flat or like a wood grain, and it seems really good. And I was wondering if that is something that would hold up well enough to use on, you know, a project like a, you know, if I wanted to buy a house and resell it. If you know anything about that type of siding, would it hold up in the long run? It's totally different than the old siding.
Okay, I thought this might be Tyler.
All our mics. Oh, we're back.
We're back.
Well, that was interesting.
Oh, okay.
We lost all our mics.
I can hear you now.
You didn't flummox us that much. All right, go ahead, Darren.
So I thought this might be Tyler Childers calling from West Virginia.
Oh, no.
Since he's going to be playing
Tyler
at SPAC
Childers
tonight.
Oh, Tyler Childers?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm not familiar with this particular product. It sounds like a oriented strand board product with some sort of surface applied to that.
That's what the new replacement is, and it used to be just a really, it was made out of that kind of that blackboard that people used under their siding.
Homosote.
Years ago.
It's called a blackboard homosote or beaver board.
Real kind of funky stuff.
Yeah, it's a press board, pressed wood fibers.
I don't know if it's even wood fiber. It looks like cardboard. It's, you know, it probably is some kind of wood fiber in there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly familiar with the product that you're describing, Richard, and I guess look at the manufacturer's recommendations on the internet. I hate to say that because I'm hoping to have the answers here, but I'm just not familiar with that particular product.
I'll tell you what happened, Richard. No one has ever stumped Darren Tracy before. It took someone from West Virginia to stump Darren Tracy. Good job, man.
Yeah, I've never seen that kind of sight in New York.
Visiting
there. And I've used vinyl siding before, and I just don't really like the looks of it.
Sure, I understand that. I'm not crazy about the looks of it either. I prefer fishing to painting.
I know. I've used it for that reason too. But the that Hardy board looks really good. The cement board, but it's really expensive too.
Yeah, yes. And with inflation, everything is becoming more expensive.
Yep. Well, Richard, thanks for the call. You going to the show tonight?
Going to the show with our son and daughter are in
nice.
From out of town and their significant others. We're going to bicycle over or ride motorcycles. They're sold out.
It's going to be a big crowd for that show tonight.
It's like $70 a ticket, and the lawn is sold out.
You better have some waters because it's going to be steamy. You know what I mean?
Well, I might have some
Something.
Sort of
Oh, you're going to have a
beverage.
Designated driver. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, well, we're taking bicycles.
All right.
So.
Oh, just be careful. All right, this email from Paul. Refurbishing a wooden tongue and groove porch floor. I wonder what you suggest for patching some of the boards where there's chafing and some rot.
Well, you'd want to match up the dimension. You'd cut out the piece that's rotted out, and you'd want to match the thickness, whether it's 4/4, which is a full inch. And ideally, you'd want to match the width and the species of the wood, and so it matches up as best possible. A lot of that older stuff was heart pine.
Yeah. All right. So, this one's from Ivan. Who to consult first, says Ivan. 50-year-old two-story with basement and garage on a slab. Seems that land is moving. Cracks in basement walls, windows and doors not square, garage slab, huge cracks. Should I refrain from fixing door frames? Should I not get garage slab fixed yet?
You should probably have a knowledge.
The audio again.
Oh,
wow.
There you're back.
This is an interesting day. Geez, I hope we make it through the show. We have 13 minutes to go.
Okay.
Zach, just play Sonny Rollins if the mic craps out again, yeah? Go ahead, Darren.
So if you have some significant structural issues, you really need somebody in the know to take a look at that. Ideally, it's a licensed professional engineer versus an architect or a well-qualified contractor. You want to determine why that structure is moving, and then you can make repairs from there.
All right, let's go to Rich in New Paltz. Rich, you're on.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My wife and I bought an old 150-year-old house in Freedom, New Hampshire, and it's great. It's charming, but the floors lean a little bit towards one corner. And I'm just wondering, would it be significantly pricey to have that rectified?
Well, that depends a lot on the conditions, and I'd really have to take a look at that. You can send me some pictures. And I can provide some guidance. We've done a lot of jacking over the years and actually moved a few structures.
Mm-hmm.
But it really depends. Something small and isolated, not a big job. If you have a foundation issue or it's more the whole house or whole side of the house, it's a bigger project.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Now, you're working on a project right now. What's up?
Oh, I mentioned that I showered before I came
Congratulations down. Congratulations for that. Thank you.
On your behalf.
Was that the project?
No, the project is I took a shower outside. We rigged up an outdoor shower just through our outside hose spigot.
Did your wife make you do this, or what's up?
No.
Shower outside,
No, we've
Darren.
Showered. It started a long time ago at my wife's uncle's house. He had an outdoor shower
cool.
in Delaware.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's an interesting, easy project. Just connect a garden hose to your outside spigot and then run it over to an area. We've got a couple of saloon doors, Long Branch saloon doors built for privacy.
Oh, nice.
And it's fun. It's fun. And we did the same thing with the hot water line that you would do with a whole cold water line.
Right.
Ran that out with a frost proof and, you know, have a couple hoses and run them over to a T connection. So you have
a pool, right?
Don't have a pool.
Why would you do that then? Why?
To shower outside because it's fun.
At your house, not your camp, your house.
Yeah, at our house, yeah. Yeah. We, you know, our neighbors are trees, so it's not a big deal. But, you know, even if you do live in, a suburban or even an urban neighborhood, you can shield yourself so that.
And you find that fun.
That's a lot. It's a riot.
Okay. Yeah. All right, man. Yeah. Well, listen, you know what?
And you don't have to clean your bathtub.
C'est la vie.
And it's easier on your septic system. All right, There's a lot of positives.
Fair enough. And we'll just leave it there. James writes in, I have a question that may be better for a plumber. Well, you're in luck. But if you answer it, I'd appreciate it. My situation is that over the past few years, I've been losing water pressure whenever I turn on my hot water. The cold water's fine, but my hot water has slowed to a trickle from each of my faucets. The trickling hot water is still very hot, but there's just no pressure. What kind of problem does this sound like to you? And other than call a plumber, what do you recommend? Do you think my situation sounds dangerous? I'm connected to municipal water and have a 20-year-old water heater, and that's from James. And that sounds like the answer to me, that last line.
Yeah, that's an old water heater that it's lasted 20 years. Feel thankful for that. Probably some mineral buildup in the hot water line, and you could try flushing your hot water heater. I actually have on my YouTube channel a video on how to flush a hot water heater tank.
All right. Let's see. This is from Amy. I need advice to replace a 1-foot by 8-foot strip on my kitchen floor, which is 4 inches wide, maple with oil-based polyurethane coating. It's damaged because I had a leak under my sink and the water filter. It gets a little complicated because it's an open-plan house, so I can't replace the whole floor. The flooring buckled for about a foot in front of the sink with a buckle peak about 3 inches high max. I sawed them out to release the pressure and let everything dry. Everything's dry now, the floor, the boards that I removed, and the subfloor. I thought I'd hire someone to do a replacement, but people were interested in selling me a whole new floor due to difficulty of matching the wood, which is not a big concern for me. Too bad. I had already used the overrun wood that I saved to patch another part of the floor. I think I have these options, but maybe you can think of something else. 1, clean up the boards that I removed and put them back in. How could I make this look okay? 2, get some type of anti-fatigue flooring just for that 1 foot in front of the sink. That's about 8 feet wide. What would I get? What else would you suggest?
Well, that's a mouthful. There's a lot there, but
yeah.
I would probably reuse the existing pieces as much as I could. You can refinish those before you put them back in place. And you might have a couple of, you'd have to surface nail or screw at the last board at least, but you can do that and use a nail set to drive that nail down below the surface and then patch in with some wood putty, that nail head, and very doable project.
You know what? Amy wrote in a short version of this because Amy was concerned that it would have taken too long. You know what, Amy? I appreciate your concern and your consideration, and you're a very nice person, but we read the whole thing, right? We read that whole question.
Yeah,
sure. You're happy about it. All right, this is from Harrison. To the gentleman talking about LP siding, it's called, I hope you're listening, Richard from West Virginia, it's called SmartSide. There is a YouTube channel where the manufacturers will show you how to install it. It's called RR Building, and so that's called SmartSide. And there's a YouTube video. It's called RR Building. There you go. LP siding.
I'm going to check that out.
All right, let's go to Olive Bridge, and it's Maya. You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. You're on.
Thank you so much. My question is, I have a 60s house, attached garage. I took all the sheetrock and the insulation out. Is there any place in that garage that a vapor barrier makes sense? Either next to the on the house side, or on the exterior wall between the sheetrock and the insulation, or anywhere.
I would say yes if you're going to reinstall some insulation and have that as a heated space. Yes, you'd want the vapor barrier installed on the warm side of the structure. So that would be the inside if you're going to heat that garage.
Through the insulation.
Say it again, Maya.
I'm sorry. It would be under the insulation.
On the walls, if you're reinstalling insulation on the walls, you would install the insulation and then the vapor barrier on the warm side or the inside of that. And that vapor barrier does not necessarily have to be polyethylene. It could be a fiberglass insulation that has a craft face that can act as a vapor barrier, or even sheetrock with paint. Latex paint can be a vapor barrier. So
if I put the sheetrock and put the latex paint, I don't need to put a plastic sheet vapor barrier.
That's correct. That's current building code practice, right? It used to be that the vapor barrier in, say, this climate zone area, this Albany, New York, was required. But that's not the case anymore, not the latest building science. The vapor barrier can be the latex paint.
Wow. All right.
I have one more quick question.
Sure, go ahead.
You were mentioning something that I had a question about. I think you said something called homosote or beaver board. The house was built in the 60s, and it has this brown board. It looks sort of cardboardy, but thick. And I want to know, I would like to know if that's the stuff that's there, what to use to fill the holes in before I put the insulation in.
Homosote is a board product 4x8, and it's used by press fibers, and it's crumbly, it's not very strong, you can break it, does have some insulation value. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to, but you know, any panel product of the same thickness could be used to patch in.
Okay.
When I say panel product,
well,
I mean plywood or
orient
strand board.
I'm thinking that there's like little holes. It's like I would use some kind of silicone or I don't know, something like that.
Okay, I would probably use spray foam in a can. That's great for sealing up small holes. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for your help.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. All right, we have a minute left here. Explain to me your thinking on the outside shower. You're not at a camp. There's no ocean. There's no pool.
You're back to nature, man.
Why, man? Why?
It's cool to take a shower outside with the trees and the birds. It really is. Anybody that has an outside shower, has taken an outside shower, can
really
probably relate to this. But yeah, it's
now
really
let me
cool.
ask you another question. Yeah. Let me ask you a follow-up.
Yeah.
You know, at what time of year do you stop doing that?
We go early spring to late fall.
Oh, you're kidding me. Are you going to go out there in early November?
It's best when it's cool or cold or in the rain.
And your wife's on board with this.
She's on board. Yeah, she's a gamer.
That is crazy talk. All right, Darren Tracy, anything else? We have about 30 seconds left here. Anything else we didn't cover today?
I'll mention my YouTube channel. It's West Branch Engineering. I've got quite a few videos on that, many of them stemming from this program. I do field some phone calls or emails. If you have a quick question, I'll try to get back to you.
And to be clear, you're not looking for work.
No,
if you have time, you'll help somebody out
for
nothing,
looking
right?
for anything but work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right.
I should kind of, once in a while, somebody will call up and they'll have a really interesting project that I will
but
help them out
this
with,
is
especially
just to help
if it's
people.
Just you know, quick, easy question.
You're a very nice man.
Well, that's not what you say off air.
Well, that's true. What time are you heading up to the show tonight?
Probably not until later because we've got some people, son-in-law and daughter-in-law or my son's girlfriend, significant other coming in later. So probably 7:30, something like that.
So you think that Richard from West Virginia is connected to the road crew or the band, Tyler Childers Group?
No, but I thought it was interesting to mention that. He's being from West Virginia.
And he's in town, right?
Yeah, he's got some real redneck hillbilly songs.
Well, that's a very fine thing to say to end the show. That's Darren Tracy at West Branch Engineering. Hey, man, thanks for being here. Enjoy the show.
You're welcome.
Support comes from Berkshire Running Foundation, announcing the Berkshire Health System's July 4th 5K with proceeds supporting community health and wellness programs. BerkshireRun.org for more information. Max Farm and Garden Red Hook, pet friendly and filled with collars, leashes, toys, plus treats and foods for fur babies to choose from on Firehouse Lane. Max Farm and Garden World on Facebook. And Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, custom framing and local art featuring works by James Siddeley, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, Sunday, noon to 5, 518-915-1956. Once again, thanks to Darren Tracy for being here. Remember, his new video about the door is embedded in our page. Just go to WAMC.org and then hit today's Vox Pop page. You'll also find a link to Darren's other lovely YouTube videos. Hey, thanks for listening today. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones screened by Andrea Leon. I'm Ray Graff. No show tomorrow. Happy 4th. We'll see you Friday.